Yes, sir. I hear that snap. I see that hand. As long as the light in the church house burns, the vilest of sinners may return. I see that hand. Yes, sir. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Phil would like to introduce himself. He believes it's important. Oh, you don't want to introduce yourself? Okay. I thought your introduction was going to be important. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And Brother Victor has read this for us already. So we're going to just look at a couple verses up front here in John chapter 14 once again. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we look at this heavenly cheer, this wonderful spiritual heavenly comfort. We see here that Jesus begins this chapter saying, let not your heart be troubled. But in the last chapter, he had told his disciples he's going away. In the last chapter, he told his disciples he was being taken with wicked hands and crucified. The last chapter, he told the disciples that one of them would soon betray him. And he told his disciples that very soon all of them would forsake him and flee and deny that they even knew him. And yet he comes with these words, now let not your heart be troubled. Let not you believe in God, believe also in me. With so many commands in the scripture to rejoice in God, to praise the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Is it another place, 1 Thessalonians, rejoice evermore. The scripture's number one command is to rejoice in God, to take joy in who He is, to celebrate God. And so to rejoice in Him, to trust Him, to walk by faith in Him, to believe His precious promises, clearly show us it is the desire of God. It is the will of God that His people be full of faith and that we be happy, that we be comforted, that we be joyful. Even in the midst of our deepest, darkest storms, that we cling to Him, that we look to Him, that we trust in Him, that we believe in Him, that we even thank Him and even begin to rejoice in Him. God does not want His children to be troubled in heart. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Once we get into the area of a troubled heart, we start looking at our problems bigger than God. We start looking at the things that we fear as though they're actually real, instead of part of our imagination. And the more we get, wrapped up in this despondency, that is this despair, this stress that kills creativity, that kills strength, that saps all our energy. Jesus, when He stilled the storm, said, peace, be still, or be muzzled. And the disciples were astonished that here is one who has power over all these things, over life and death, over the raindrops, over the waves of the sea, over everything. You see, the disciples were like lambs, and Jesus was their loving shepherd. And I often feel like I'm a little lamb. I've been in the Lord's fold since 1980. He called me to preach in 1981. But I still depend on Him all the time. Not a time ever comes where I teach a class or where I enter the pulpit that I say, Lord, I can't do this without you. Lord, there's no way that I can preach without you. I can teach without you. I need your help. I've been doing it all these years, and for sometimes 4 and 5 times a week, besides weddings and funerals and preaching other churches and stuff back in the day. I think I could, if I wanted to, just in the fleshly side, preach in the flesh. But I don't even want to try. I don't want to be lonely. I want to have my shepherd with me. I'm his sheep. He's my shepherd. I'm a lamb, and he's the strong and mighty one. He was about to leave them, and they felt troubled. They felt afraid. They felt confused. Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? Where are you going? You tell us you're going somewhere, but we don't know the way. For all of us, there will come a time of trouble. Some of us have already been through many troubles. A ship may set out on a calm sea with all her banners flying, rejoicing in a good wind and enjoying the swiftness, the glide upon a pristine ocean. But let the captain remember that the sea is treacherous, and the strongest vessel may be lost, may be sunk in a perilous storm. But we as believers in the midst of the darkest storms are here commanded to believe on him, to let not our hearts be troubled. No matter what comes our way, no matter what event or reality in life shatters our dreams, we are to still trust in him, the master of the sea, to let not our heart be troubled, but believe in him. Now the exposition quickly is this. These words of Christ were disheartening to the disciples. Jesus was telling them, I'm about to die. In the next few hours, I'm going to be crucified. And it just dawned on them, they were going to be with like sheep without a shepherd. The last 3.5 years of their life of following Jesus, they had been fed. They had slept good. Though they had been persecuted, they felt safe. But now he was leaving them, and their enemies would soon surround them. He said that one of them was going to betray him, and this pierced their hearts. In one of the other Gospels, they all began to ask, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Jesus told them that Peter and the rest, all of you are going to forsake me in the coming few hours. They're deeply troubled. They're afraid that Jesus is leaving their whole world. For the last 3.5 years, all their hopes and dreams are now hitting the ground. It's all going away. And yet even then, the Lord shows them the way of comfort. Believe in me, the ever-living, the ever-present, almighty Savior. As though he's saying, though I'm going away, I'm only going to my Father's house. I'll be preparing a glorious place for you that you're really gonna love. In fact, you're gonna love it so much, the only reason you'll ever leave is to be with your friends and your loved ones worshiping me around my throne. That's the only thing you're gonna love more. He says, you're gonna love it. I know you. I formed your bones in the belly of your mother. I know you from afar. I know what'll make you happy. And your place is just going to be a place of majesty and full of mysteries and joys that I ever knew you so much, what you would love so much. I'm preparing a place for you. Then when all is ready, I'm going to come back and get you. So we can always live together. So we never will be separated, ever. Your comfort in all your troubles is this. My Lord Jesus is the risen and living Savior. He's making a home in heaven for me. He's coming back for me, and I'll live with him forever in glory. He loves me. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. The Bible is my book. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my comforter forever and ever. I'm his, and he's mine. He belongs to me. The Lord is my shepherd. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. And I'm going to make a place that you're really going to love. And after I'm done, I'm coming back for you. You're going to live with me forever. Now, yesterday, as I told you, those problems that were looking at me like a dark black monster. When I looked at these verses, I said, you know, that's the big picture, isn't it? They could take away my job, but they can't take away my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. They can take away my freedom, but they can't take away my freedom from my sins that is in Christ. They can take away my home, but they can't take away my everlasting home. And I said, Lord Jesus, let me believe in you. Let me believe that you love me so much. You've gone to prepare a place for me, and then you're coming back for me. And it's all about you and us, your people being together forever. And it put it in perspective. And I looked at it and I thought, you know, I should be joyful. And then the phone rang. The answer on the other side was, don't worry, God's taking care of it. And so we see here the futility of a troubled heart. What good does a troubled heart do? If Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, if we read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. And then he comes to the point, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My heart will not be troubled. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So the futility of a troubled heart. I know it's easier said than done. When times are rough, our hearts get troubled. We want to give up. We want to drift with the stream. We want to just cover our heads in our pillow and say, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. But Jesus says, I've told you what to do. Be of good courage. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Don't cower. Don't procrastinate. Don't pooch out the lip and just think it's all getting worse and worse. Nothing ever seems to get better. Nothing ever turns around. And so they said, why don't you not look at your circumstances, but look at me? Look at my relationship with you. Look at your heart and don't let it be troubled. Quit looking at your circumstances. You know, the time of year now with the rain and everything, we're getting the dandelions up. You know, if you keep your lawn at about 2 inches, the dandelions will grow up about 2 inches above that lawn. If you let your lawn grow to 6 inches, the dandelions are still going to grow 6 inches and then 2 inches above your lawn. If you let your lawn go this tall, those dandelions will find their way to perk up their sunny little yellow faces towards the sun about 2 inches above your weeds. That's what we're called to do. No matter what our circumstances are, to just... Amen? To just say, 2 inches... Say, I asked a guy one day, hey, how you doing, Bob? Well, I'm all right under the circumstances. I said, scat, man, what are you doing under those things? We're to walk by faith and not by sight, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Said, you're under your circumstances. You're looking at the temporal things. I said, and most of those things never even come true. And the ones that do, if you're walking with Jesus, they're never as bad as you feared they were going to be. So, how does it go? Jesus said, my joy I give unto you, and the joy that I give the world cannot take away. The world can't take it away, but you know what? You can forfeit it. You can surrender it by not keeping your eyes on the Lord, by not believing in Him. He's our great Savior. He's our great rescuer. He's our great deliverer. He's our great rock. And so we look at the difficulties instead of just saying, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Here's the wisdom of Jesus' will in this. Number one, a troubled heart will not help you in your difficulties. No matter how hard your trial, no matter how deep you let your heart get troubled, no matter how low you let it sink, it's never going to help you. It's the wrong way. You know, and Noah, when he was told to build the ark, he built that huge side door, and then God closed it, then the rain started coming down. There was only one window in the whole ark. And God said that he was to make it above, the top part of the ark, above the cabin where Noah and his family lived. That was the only window. The only way that you could look out was not to see the death and the carnage and the storm and the waves and the ugliness, the judgment. The only way to look was to look up to God, to trust in Him. If you were going to see anything outside that ark, you were going to have to look up and not look down, not look around. In times of drought, worry has never brought showers. When someone's business is declining, they'll never multiply customers by broodiness, moodiness, and unbelief. Only by honey do we attract more bees. Only by a positive spirit of faith in Christ do we have an attraction to this world. It's not our gloominess. It's our joyfulness. Let not your heart be troubled. On a dark night, the darkness of your heart will not light a candle for you. A doubting, fretful spirit takes you from the joys that you do have, that do belong to you. You may not have all that you wish, but you still have more than you deserve, and far more than most others in this world. Especially if you have the true and living God, you are of all men most rich. Amen. For you are part of a very small flock that has everything in heaven. The stars at night are just the dewdrops on your front lawn. Another thing that's the futility of having a troubled heart is that it makes you wish, a troubled heart makes that which is bad to be even worse. So you're facing a bad situation. I remember the story of a little girl before the days of anesthesia. And the doctor said, "Sweetie, even if we could take some of the pain away, the surgery we're about to do requires that we don't give you anything." You see, he said, "So if you're going to scream or if you're going to cry or you're going to wail, that's okay." She said, "What if I sing?" He said, what if you sing? What do you mean?" She says, "Well, I've been in pain before. I've had real bad headaches. And instead of crying, it only made it worse. I started singing, and that seemed to make me feel better." And so during her surgery, she was singing songs about Jesus' goodness, about how God loves her, and so on. And that helped her through. You see, a troubled heart makes that which is bad to be even worse. It magnifies the darkness. It aggravates the pain. It irritates the attack. It breathes life into the monster that is facing you. Unbelief makes your difficulties seem gigantic. It leads you to fear that it's all over with for you. But if you think of Joseph in Egypt, of Job in his storm, of Paul in the prison, and the Lord Jesus at the cross, they were in the perfect heart of the will of God. A worried heart is dishonoring to God. Did you hear me? Worry is a sin. It is a sin to distrust God. We could go through all these verses to show you worry is a sin. Do you want me to do that some Sunday? Just hit it. Verse after verse after verse. A worried heart is dishonoring to God. It suspicions God's eternal faithfulness. It doubts His unchangeable love. Is this a little thing? To doubt God? To think His word is not sufficient? To think His love is inept? To think that He cannot see? That He does not care? Even though He gave His only begotten Son for you? Is it a little thing to doubt Him in light of that He gave you His heaven of heavens, His fairest Son, His only begotten Son? Is that a little thing? When once an army begins to be demoralized and it starts to bring on a lack of courage, and once a soldier thinks he cannot win the day, then the conclusion is that every man had better take care of himself and start his retreat. The battle is already over before it started, because you've lost heart. Amen. Now, what is the remedy for a troubled heart? Well, Jesus in this passage gives us the remedy for the troubled heart. You know, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Then he turns immediately and gives the cure. Jesus said, let not be hard, your heart be troubled. You say, oh, that's easy to say, but Pastor, that's so hard to do. Here is a man who's fallen into a deep ditch, and you say, don't worry about it, it'll be okay. That's nice for you standing up there. But how am I to feel easy when my neck is in the mud and I'm drowning in quicksand? But if Jesus says it, your heart need not be troubled. Jesus commands believers. He commands and demands that believers believe in him. That's what it means to believe. That's what it means to be the faithful, that we have faith in him. Faith in Jesus is the victory that overcomes the world. What is that that overcomes the world? Or who is that that overcomes the world? But he who believes in Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And here's the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith, the Bible says. Jesus commands us to. It's hard for a child to trust and believe in his father, or no? Is it hard for Scarlett to trust in her grandma or her mama or daddy? Or is that something she just does naturally? If grandma says, you're going to like this brownie, she's going to like it, right? What's so hard for us to trust in our great and living God who controls everything at the mere whim of his pleasure and his will? He's in control of it all. How hard is it to trust in him then? We have to fight the devil over this. He knows that faith is the victory that overcomes the world, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Savior goes on to say, you believe in God or my Father. Place that same faith to the case at hand. The case in hand was this. Could they rest on one who was about to be crucified? Could they trust in one who was about to be killed? That was the case at hand. Could they trust in one who was going to be bleeding and dying and giving up his life? He said, you've believed God about other things. Place that same faith in me about this. My death does not end it. My death is the necessity before the necessity of my resurrection. He said, I can trust in God even though I know I'm going to die a brutal, vicious, hellish death with all the demons of hell rushing against me, with all the sins of the world laid on my back. I know that this is going to happen and it's causing me to die inside. My body will be bloody from sweat in a couple hours in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'll ask that the Father let this cup pass from me. He said, but for the joy that is set before me, I'll endure the cross, despising the shame. I'm going to rise again from the dead. Believe in me. You believe God concerning your salvation. Believe God about your child. Believe God about your wife. Believe God about your money. Believe God about your job. It is easier for us to live above heart trouble than it was for the apostles. Did you know that? It's easier for us to live above heart trouble than for them. Do you know why? We have the promises of Christ written down for us. We can read them over and over and over again. You have all the scriptures to carry with you all the time. They were having to make copies of books and scrolls, and they couldn't carry it all together. If they were going to try to carry the New Testament alone, they'd be having to carry dozens of scrolls. And that would have been impossible. We get to carry the whole book from Genesis to Revelation right here. We have all these promises written down in the Psalms and Isaiah throughout the New Covenant. We have it so much easier than they did. Job asked, where is God, my maker, who gives me songs in the night? Well, he's living. He's preparing a glorious home for you. He's ready to return for you any day now. He's going to take you with him and never leave you alone forever. Not once will you be without him. Now the preciousness of holy cheer. This loving advice is precious because it comes from Jesus himself. Jesus says it, not your pastor, not Franklin Graham, not anybody, not Alistair Begg, not John MacArthur. Jesus said it, let not your heart be troubled. Your Savior who knows you and loves you like no one else, he says it. When a mother says, do not cry, my child, be patient, it's very different than what a stranger might say when it comes from the mother to the child. These words are precious because Jesus was facing the cross at this time. He knows what's going to happen to him. And yet he says to the disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Can you imagine if they were going to have to go through what he knew he was going to have to go through, how troubled they'd be? But he wasn't troubled. Not yet. That darkness is soon coming. But in the midst of that darkness, he's saying, going to say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was to be troubled as man was never troubled ever in history. Why? Because not only was the physical suffering coming to him, all our sins were being laid upon him. All our sorrows, all our shame, all our guilt, all our ugliness, every bit of it in thought, word, deed, motive, all of it was being placed on him. He was bearing all our sins and our sorrows and our shame. These words are precious because they point to Jesus. If you want comfort, it's not in a recipe, it's in a person. It's not in a religion, it's in a relationship with Jesus. That's where it comes from. It points to Jesus. If you want comfort, you must hear Jesus say, believe also in me. Believe in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. No place for a child's bleeding elbow like his mother's tender hands. No place in this weary world like our Savior's loving hands holding us. These words are precious because they tell us we will be with Jesus forever and ever. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Doesn't Jesus know his children really well? That he says, where I am, there you may be also. How does he know that he's the one we really want to see when we get to heaven? Well, he just knows it because he's so good. Mm-hmm. Amen. Do I want to see my loved ones in heaven? Sure, but not first. And not most. I love them. I love them. I love them. I miss them. But the one who made them and the one who gave us that love for each other, his name is Jesus. And he's the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He's the one who saved my loved ones who are in heaven, and he saved me. And without him, we wouldn't be there. So yeah, I want to see him. Of course I do. But the one who made them special and precious, the one who made them to have that loving attraction because I saw Jesus in them, was Jesus himself. I want to be with him. And then we'll spend time together around him, worshiping him, loving him, praising him, holding on to him, loving him up. Believe also in me. They tell us we will be with Jesus forever. Now let me ask you, if all the troubles of the world came upon you, then suddenly you found yourself in the presence of your Heavenly Father, of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, how long do you think it would take before you forgot all those other things? No matter what you went through, how long do you think you're spending in the presence of your loving Savior? And his smile upon you, and feeling your Heavenly Father's love wash over you? How long do you think it would take before you forgot all those dark things, all those bad things, all those heartbreaking things? Let's say it took you an hour. Now, what will eternity do in His presence? Amen. The foundation for lasting comfort, according to this passage, is remember that Jesus loves you. Remember that heaven is real, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, as Victor read from verse 6. Remember that His absence is only temporary. Meanwhile, He's given us His precious promises, and He's given us His Holy Spirit. How many times is Hollywood stolen from the biblical worldview? Man falls in love with girl, man gets girl to fall in love with him, basically. Then man goes off to war, or man goes off on a cause, or man goes off on a voyage. And then the whole movie's about getting the man back together with the woman. We are the bride of Christ. He is coming again. That's our worldview. And the world has to steal from it to make it work. All these movies, there's a vision, death of a vision, then the resurrection of the vision. See? Next time you see a movie, it'll be pointed out, unless it's a weird movie. But that's our worldview. That's from the Bible. That's about the resurrection of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would bless us. Help us to take comfort in Jesus. Lord, as we said earlier, it is easier to say. But Lord, let that not be an excuse for us to not try. To say that, oh, let not your heart be troubled, and excuse that without taking the cure in hand and endeavoring to fight the good fight, to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to believe on You, to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and to not be discouraged, but at least to believe in You enough to test Your Word. And if we do, we'll taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, bless Your word to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's take an offering this morning. Oh, this is your phone, Philip. I just placed a bet with my bookie in Hawaii. If you can catch it real quick. Oh. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.